We've been studying the book of Revelation. I told you when we started this series, it may run a year or maybe 2 years. But anyway, it's a time where we're going to study every chapter in the book of Revelation. And then there's sometime we have to go back and study some allegories in the book of Revelation. So we already studied the first two churches. We studied the church of Ephesus. If you notice, we have a map here. And these are the seven churches in Revelation. We have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. As I told you before, these was literal churches that was in Asia Minor during the time that John was writing these letters. But also they are a picture of the church age from the time of Pentecost to the last Gentile being added to the body of the church. So we believe that we are in this last age, which is the Laodicea age. We'll get to that later. That's the church of neither hot nor cold. But today we're going to be looking at the third church. And if you notice, it's a worldly. It's a worldly church. And if you look at today, a lot of times our churches have become worldly. People won't come to church to Bible study, but they'll come to have a concert. They'll come to have a pulling tips. All that's going, you say, does that go on in the church? Yes, it does go on in the church. There are some churches take buses to the casino. I don't know where y'all act like you don't know it or not, but they do. So all this stuff go on today. And there were some churches, I hate to say it, that they were pulling tips for a bottle of liquor. So I'm just saying a lot of that, but we're going to be looking at that today. This is the Church of Pergamos, which is a worldly church, is what we're going to be talking about today. So if you have your Bible, turn to Revelations chapter 2. This is when the world had came and set up camp in the church. I need you to follow me with the Word of God. So everyone get a Bible, please, and turn to Revelation. Revelation, again, is a book that we talked about. Brother Jennings was saying it's a book that we ought to bring up because it's a blessed book to read it and to study it and to hear it. So as we study it today, you get a blessing from studying from the book of Revelation. Amen? Revelation chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. I need you in the Word of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 through 17. When you get there, say amen. And unto the angel, again, the angel could be a spiritual figure, also God, we use it as a pastor of the church of Pergamos, write, these things said he which has a sharp sword with a two edges. We're going to talk about Jesus having a sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where what? Satan's seat is. So here's the church that the devil has set up a seat in the church. The devil has a throne in the church. And I'm here to tell you today that we got churches that are devil churches. The devil set up a seat in the churches. And thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith, even in those days where in Antipas was my faithful martyr who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So we talked about those people even in the church before the Smyrna that died according to their faith. Verse 14, but I have a few things against thee. God has some things against the church, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. We're going to talk about Balaam. Balaam was a false prophet. There were people in the church that were still holding to that doctrine, which taught Balak, that was the king of the Moabites, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit what? Fornication. So here's a so-called prophet, got the church in the, I hate to say it, orgies going on in the church. He got fornication going on in the church. And the Lord said, I hate that. Verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. God hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Verse 16, number 1 says what? Repent. Turn around. Turn from. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the what? Hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name. By the way, when we get to heaven, we get a new name written, which no man knoweth save he that receives it. So we're going to talk to you a little bit this morning about this worldly church, about this licentious church, this church that was a vulgar church. This church was a church that was into sexuality, into immorality, into all kind of wickedness. And this church was living at the time when John wrote it. And I have news to tell you, we have churches today that are just like that. So I want to talk to you this morning about the unholy church. The church ought to be holy, but this is an unholy church. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another Lord's Day. A day that you have made, we rejoice and be glad. And thank you for the ones that came out today to the house of God, praying for Mama Malone. She wasn't feeling too well. And Melita, some of the others, Lord, that we know are on their sick bed. Deacon Jennings, Lord. Those that we know that would love to be here but could not be here. We lift them up to you. Those that cannot be here for whatever reason. Thank you for our Sunday school lesson that we had this morning, Lord, on the Jubilee, Lord, and how we ought to keep the Sabbath. There ought to be a day of rest. Lord, thank you for giving us this day that we can rest. Rest from our labor, but at the same time, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Thank you for our time of singing our songs this morning, our corporate prayer. Thank you for our time of our testimonies, our prayer requests, and our prayer requests answered. Thank you for our time of our covenant reading this morning, Lord. Thank you for a time of recognizing our birthdays, Lord. Thank you for a time of our fellowship song. Thank you for a time of reading our covenant. Time out, taking up our announcements, taking up our offering, and then thank you for the songs that the praise team sung, Lord. So we lift them up to you, Lord. Thank you again for Sister Gaines working with our young people, Lord. Pray for them as they continue to study the Bible. Praying for Vacation Bible School or somebody to head it up, and praying for the Evangelistic Week. So, Lord, now bless me, hide me in your word, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Speak through me only those words that will build up and edify. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and the praise. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. These seven churches are very important as we study them. As we study the church of Ephesus, Christ comes as the one holding the seven stars in his hand in the midst of the seven candlesticks. So we see that picture of him coming. And then in the church of Smyrna, Christ comes as the first and the last. We talked about him being the Alpha and Omega. He that was dead and now alive. But in this church, this is a worldly church, he comes with a two-edged sword. What are you talking about, preacher? He comes because he's bringing a sword to reap havoc on his enemies. God is not going to let you tear up his church. The church is supposed to be pure, and the church is supposed to be holy. But because we've allowed so much sin and so much degradation to come into the church, Christ is going to come back, and he's going to take that sword, he's going to clean up the mess going on in the church. Amen? Revelation 16, 18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I'm here to tell you, if Jesus said he's going to build it, he's going to build it. If I'm here to tell you, he said the gates of hell won't prevail, they will not prevail. Pergamos was a great cult center, a center that had all kind of mess going on in the church. It was a center that God did not accept. They had no room for Jesus. It was a church that had all the worldly stuff going on in the church. And we're going to point this out. Matter of fact, when we get into the last days in the tribulation, when the world going to become into one religion and everybody going to believe the same thing, everybody going to believe in the same politics, believe in the same economic, the Bible calls that church the great whore. So God is talking about a wicked, wicked church. And that church God cannot stand. The Bible says in 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Just like the Bible, God don't want unholiness in the church. He wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to marry into the faith. He wants to marry people that are Christian. So whenever you do something against the Lord, there are consequences for it. Amen? And the Bible says this. I hope you don't marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transferred into ministers of unrighteousness. Let me tell y'all something. Satan don't come where you can identify him. He come just as smooth talking and just as slick as everybody. Satan don't come. When you deal with this, and I just bring up this school violence, they looked at this boy record. They said this boy had never had any problem with the law. Even his parents said this, he act out of character. Well, let me help you out. If he had been doing some devilish stuff, if he had been kicked out of school, they would have said, we know who it was. But you know what the devil do? He infiltrate. He uses the least that you expected. He send you the best looking person. He send you the best folk to con you. The devil is a con artist. Are y'all listening to me today? He does that in the church. He don't come in with a head ill, a red suit, with a pitchfork and a forked tail. He don't come in like that. Everybody run then. He come in with a three-piece suit on, with a nice dress, with some kicking shoes on and a nice looking purse. He come in looking deceived. He come in to trick you. Amen. So we're talking about the devil himself. We see these three churches already mentioned. Ephesus was a backslidden church. They lost their first love. Smyrna was a persecuted church. And now we see Pergamos, an unholy church. The church has married into the world. It was the same situation when the church married Rome. The Roman governor, Constantine, married the church. And he took a sign called Holocaust Venus, and he put an upside down cross on the head of his soldiers. And he said, everybody will be Christianized. Well, let me tell you, you cannot legislate Christianity. You cannot legislate righteousness. You can't make people do right. Amen. You can make all the laws in the land, but people's heart have to be changed. You know, and y'all heard it, and I said it 1,000 times. You know what they say the problem with the gang is today? They say, we don't give them jobs. Let me tell you, you can give them jobs. You can give them money. But if they don't change them from the inside out, they'll still be wicked. They'll still be wicked. I was telling my wife, and I'm not, my wife get on me because she said, you be reading all this stuff on Facebook and on social media. I don't be reading, it just comes up. They had a girl who went to work for a woman in New York. She was a real estate millionaire, and they had she hired an assistant. They found out the woman got killed with a blunt object, hit in the head 9 times. Come to find out it was an Afro-American girl that she had hired that robbed the lady and beat her to death. It's just sad. It's sad that this stuff go off. It go on all the time. So we need to be careful that the devil is raising his ugly head. Amen? 3 points today as we talk about the unholy church. Point number one, Jesus is going to examine everything that go on in the church. Nothing going to catch him by surprise. This is really a picture of the parable. Jesus told a parable to his disciples. He said, this is the parable of the sower. The sower goes out to sow seed. And then after he sows the seed, the enemy comes back and sow in some tare. And so you have wheat and tare in the church. You have lost and saved people in the church. So the Bible says, don't try to pull up the tare because you might pull up the wheat. Amen. So you have people in the church, you listening to me today, that are counterfeit. You have people in the church are hypocrites. You have people in the church that talk a good talk, but they don't know the Lord. Amen. So this is what was going on in the church of Pergamos. And so God was saying, these things I hate. He was talking about this church and how they allowed all this evil stuff to come into the church. All the forces of evil had came into the church. And Jesus Christ was looking at this church of Pergamos. And in this church of Pergamos, he was looking at some of the good things that they do. I'm going to give you 7 hallmarks that he gave to the church of Pergamos. And this ought to be 7 hallmarks that he gives to every church. The first hallmark of a church is that Jesus Christ should be the foundation of the church. Jesus Christ should be the only foundation. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The church should be founded on who? Jesus Christ. If it's founded on anything else, it's going to fall. The church should be founded on Jesus Christ. So this church of Pergamos was founded on Jesus Christ. The second point that Christ was looking at this church was, this church was not alone. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave, nor what? Forsake you. So I want y'all to remember this. You are never alone if you're a Christian. Even in your darkest hour, when you think nobody's there, when you're at home by yourself in the midnight hour, when you're at work and you look like everybody's against you, you are not alone. You all have Christ with you. Amen? The Bible says if Christ can be for you, who can be against you? Amen? We are more than conquerors to them that are in Christ. Number one, they built on the right foundation. Number two, they were not alone. Number three, Christ had a positive expectation. He made this statement, I will build my church. Let me tell you, when Christ said he's going to do something, he's going to do it. That's positive. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So when Christ decided that he was going to make that statement, I will, that's a positive expectation. This church of Pergamos was trusting Christ in his positive expectation. Number four, he had a purpose fulfilled. When Christ first started out, he called 12 men to be his disciples. And out of those 12, one was a devil. And then when he went to Calvary, they all forsaken him. But on the day of Pentecost, he had 120 in the upper room. And that 120, the Bible says, the Holy Ghost came. A mighty rushing wind and tongues came like a cloven tongue set on their head. And the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they heard the gospel in their own language. Amen? Amen. And then Peter got up and preached and 3,000 people got saved on Peter's first sermon. And then the second sermon, Peter preaching, 5,000 got saved. So Christ's purpose will be fulfilled. His purpose is that the gospel will go forth. People will get saved. You know what people say today? Say, there's no hope for America. Let me tell you, there is hope for America. America need a revival. America need to go back into turning back to the God. If America would turn back to God, people would get saved. You know what the problem for violence today is? Jesus. You know what the problem for gangs today is? Jesus. You know what the problem today is? We need to turn back. You know what the problem in Washington is? We have turned away from Jesus. Amen? The church of Pergamos was holding fast their profession. Even though it had married the world, they had brought the world into the church. This church was holding their purpose. This church was holding their full ownership. Christ owns the church. Everything that the church has belonged to Christ. Christ also has the church's people centered. Christ is more concerned with people than he is with possessions. We talked about that today, how people spend all kind of money on things, but they're not concerned with people. The church ought to be people-centered. We ought to be concerned with people. Amen? When we go out into the evangelize, when we go into this neighborhood, when we go into this apartment complex, we ought to be concerned with reaching people. Amen? The church ought to be people-centered. And then one other thing is all the promises of God are yea and amen. So Hebrews 6:18 says, two immutable things. God cannot lie, and God swore by oath on himself. So this church of Pergamos, they had seven hallmarks that show they was solid. They were sold out for Christ. We as a church today, we need to be sold out for Christ. Point number two, in an unholy church. Point number two is that God indicted the church of Pergamos. Even though that church had some good things, they had two bad things. And I can tell you today, we still have those two bad things, indictments today. Go back to Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 14. And this is what he said. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of what? Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Most of you know the story of Balaam. But for those of you who don't know it, let me give it to you. Israel had come from Egypt. God had killed all Pharaoh's army. Israel was walking through the wilderness. Every time they came upon an enemy, God would defeat that enemy. So they came up to the Moabites, and the king of Moabite name was Balaam. And he called for a prophet. He said, you know what? You need to curse these people, because if you don't curse them, they're going to come in and annihilate us. So he called for a prophet named Balak. If you know the story of Balak, Balak was a false prophet. Balak came, he said, you know, I can't curse you, those people. Those are God's people. And he said, well, let me promote you. Let me give you more money. And he said, well, I don't think I should go. But then he got on his donkey. Y'all remember the story? And he went to curse God's people. God told him not to go, but he went. And when he was going to get ready to curse the God's people, an angel of the Lord stood with a sword ready to kill him. And when the angel went to kill him, the donkey turned aside and ran out in the field. Y'all remember the story? And Balaam smoked the donkey. He beat him. And then he got back on the donkey and started going back to curse Israel. And the second time, the donkey smashed his feet against the wall. And Balaam got so mad, he said, if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you. And then God opened the donkey mouth. Y'all remember that story? Now, it's a sad kind of tale when God had to speak to a donkey to talk to you. And God told the donkey, said, have not been faithful to you all these years? And have I never turned to the side? The only reason that I turned to the side this time, Balaam, was because you did not see the angel of the Lord. And God opened Balaam's eyes, he saw that angel of the Lord. And God, Balaam saw at that time that he could not curse God's people. But y'all know the next step is when you can't curse God's people? Compromise. We yoke with God's people. So because Balaam could not curse God's people, he began to tell the daughters of Moab to seduce the men of Israel. And they began to intermarry. I want to show you that scripture in the Bible. Take your Bible and turn to Numbers real quick. Numbers chapter 22. I want you to see this so you'll see. This is how the enemy works. The enemy is very subtle. He knows how to pull you in. Numbers chapter 22. When you get there, say amen. Numbers chapter 22. We'll start at verse 21 and we'll read down. Numbers chapter 22. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass or his donkey and went with the prince of Moab. Verse 22. And God's anger was kindled. Everybody? Because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants were with him. Now look at verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and turned his sword and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. Go ahead. The angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side, a wall being on this side. I need y'all to follow me in the word of God. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. Verse 28. Okay, so Balaam could not go. Now turn over to Numbers chapter 31. Now he could not curse Israel. So this is what he did in Numbers chapter 31. When you get there, say amen. Amen. And we'll start at verse 15. I'll read 15, you read 16. Numbers chapter 31, verse 15 said, and Moses said unto them, have ye saved all the women alive? Verse 16. Because the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Period. And there was a plague among the children. So these women went in and seduced those men and they caused Israel to sin. And so God called that the doctrine of Balaam. And he was saying in that church, y'all got some people in there that are still doing that. You're seducing people and you're setting up traps for people and you're using all kind of things. I don't know where you know it or not. There was a church out in California where a guy started. It was called the Church of Satan. And then the Church of Satan, they had everything. They had homosexuality. They had incest. They had adult houses. They had everything. And all this was under the name of a church called Satan. But what happened is today, we allowed that to come into the real church. And people come into the church for the wrong reason. So God was saying, I hate that because y'all have them that have the doctrine of Balaam who teach Israel to commit adultery and fornication with the daughters of Moab. So they were seducing these men and God hated it. And then the other thing that God hated was they had them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Well, what is the doctrine of the Nicolaitans? Well, the Nicolaitans were a hierarchy in the church. And God, he can't stand that today. Well, you have a pastor and then you have people that set up authority over the pastor like bishops and elders and they tell the pastor what to do. And God said he hate that. God said, I established the church and you ought to follow the dictate. I give commandments to the the shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, he gives a commitment to the pastor, and the deacons and the leaders and the trustees are to follow the pastor, not dictate to the pastor. And so God said he hated that. And so he had the doctrine of Balaam in that church, and he had the hold the doctrine of Nicolaitan. And Jesus rebuked the Jewish leaders. He told the Jewish leaders that they make one proselyte twofold the children of the devil than themselves. He said they swear by the gold of the temple. They're not concerned about people. They're concerned about money. And I don't know whether you heard it or not, but there have been a lot of evangelists. And again, I don't want to be too hard on evangelists because I'm an evangelist. But they would have people send money in to them on the TV. And they would take the letter and take the money out of the letter and wouldn't even read the letter. That was sin. Amen. So we need to go back to the church ought to be holy. The church ought to be pure. The church ought to have leaders that are living right. Amen. One of the criteria that I've said so many times is that a man in the church, a deacon or a man, should never go over a single woman home by himself. Amen. You say, but he's a deacon. Don't matter what he's a deacon. He should go over there with Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Amen. So we need to do things in proper order. So when you start, the Bible says you start giving the devil a foothold, he'll come in. So the Bible says avoid all appearance of evil. Don't let the devil get in, because if the devil get a toe foot in, he's going to come in. Amen. So you need to keep the church pure. There are certain things in the church that you need to do, that you need to keep things done properly and in order. There was several pastors who had pastor studies, and they put, again, a mirror, or they put a see-through window in their church so that if anybody come in their office, if they made up a lie, you could see through it on both sides. Amen. So you need to have protection. You women need to protect yourselves from men, and men need to protect themselves from women. It need to be a situation where you keep yourself pure and holy. Amen. The church was in all this stuff. In the church of Corinth, they had prostitutes. And the prostitutes would come into church and they had their heads shaven. And Paul said, women, you need to cover your head up so people won't know what you used to do. In the church, they had all this going on. In these churches, they had idols. They had temples of Aphrodite. They had temples of Diana. They had temples where they came in, and a lot of times they used what they call sexual occasion to say they were worshiping the Lord. Let me tell you, all that is of the devil. All that is of Satan. There's nothing sexual about the word of God other than a husband and a wife and a marriage ceremony. Amen? And so we need to keep the church pure. So one thing about this church number one is, they had some good works, but they had two things against them. They had the doctrine of Baal going on in the church, and then they had the doctrine of Nicolaitan. And the last thing that we want to talk about the church is, God said that they could overcome. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I want you to see this. He said this to every church in verse 17. He that has an ear, let him do what? Hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So if you're listening today, God said, if you got an ear, take in the word of God. If you got an ear, listen to the Spirit of God. If you listen to the God, he will speak to you. And look what it says. To him that overcometh, stand in the battle, overcoming, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. So one of the things that the church had, if they stayed faithful to the Lord, was a hidden manna. Now this manna we talked about in Sunday school was the manna that God rained down from heaven. That manna spoiled. They could only keep it for one day. They could not keep it up, because if they kept it up for the next day, it would breed worms. But now on the sixth day, God kept it fresh. They could keep it for the seventh day because it was a day of rest. Amen? But this manna that he gives to the church is that manna that we talk about is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said it like this. I am that true bread. I am that manna that came down from heaven. He that eateth of me shall live forever. So he's talking about the manna, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, I will give him a white stone. And that white stone will be their name. We have names that are given to us today. Our names are not important. Back in the Hebrew culture, if you had a name, it meant something. But today, we have black names and African names and all those names are not important. But when you get to heaven, God's going to give you a new name. What do you think that name is going to symbolize? It's going to symbolize the type of life that you live on earth. So if you lived a consecrated life, If you lived a sold out life, your name will testify. Now, we know that the name Jesus is going to always be the name Jesus, because there's no other name under heaven given by which to be saved. But he's going to give everybody a new name. So the Bible said that he gave out talents and he gave out pounds. And one of the things that he gave out, he gave one man 5 talents. He gave another man 2 talents and he gave another man 1 talent. The Bible said the one that had 5 talents went and made 5 more talents. So the Bible said he told him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. The Bible said the one that had 2 talents went and made 2 more talents. The Bible said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But the one that had the 1 talent, what do you think he did? He went and buried it in the earth. And God called him an unprofitable servant. So I don't know what your talent is today. I don't know what your gift is today, but you need to use it for the Lord. If God gave you a talent, some of you can sing. You need to be singing for the Lord. Some of you can teach. You need to be teaching for the Lord. Some of you have a gift of mercy. You know how to show mercy to people. Some of you have a gift of giving. You know how to give to the people. Some of you have a gift of discernment, a gift of knowledge. You need to give that gift to people. One of the things that I was blessed to do is I was able to go into the schools and mentor people. So that was a gift God has given me. So if you have some mentees, you need to use that gift for the honor and glory for the Lord. If you have a gift of speaking, you need to speak for the honor and glory of the Lord. If you have a gift of comforting or encouragement, everybody needs some encouragement. Amen? There are some people that know how to encourage you. So if you have a gift of encouragement, you need to encourage. You have a gift of exhortation. Exhortation is where you tell people to pay attention to what the pastor is saying. Pay attention to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. You exhort people to come to church. The Bible says, exhort ye one another to come together to hear the word of God. Every Saturday, I look forward to coming to church on Sunday, because I know at Sunday, I'm going to be exhorted in the word of God. I'm going to be exhorted with my brothers and sisters. I love good preaching. I love people that exalt, that exegete the word of God, because it gives me medicine for my soul. It gives me a balm in Gilead. You need the word of God. The word of God is the only thing that's going to keep you. Your feelings not going to keep you. The word of God. There's 2 types of things that was going on in the church of Pergamum. One of them was they were exalting tradition over the word. Let me tell you, you need the word. Don't exalt man's sin. And then there was exalting emotions over the word of God. Let me tell you, do not exalt your emotions. Your emotions come and go. Amen? I tell people all the time, I'm married. I have a wedding band on. A lot of men do this. They take their wedding band off. I don't know if it come off, y'all. I don't take them out. They take it off. Now, that's supposed to mean that he's not married, but he's still married. Because he still got a wedding band. Amen? So let me tell you, this band don't mean anything if you don't honor it, okay? So we need to go back to being faithful to the Lord. If you go serve the Lord with gladness. Don't be the type of person that serves the Lord and you're always bringing up, well, I did this and I did not. You're not serving the Lord, you're serving man. Serve the Lord with joy. Do y'all know I enjoy reading my Bible? When we come to church and I say, turn to a song, you ought to be so happy. You ought to be so, I'm glad to sing. We sung that song today, We Shall Overcome. That was a great song, because we are going through that today. It's almost like in the 60s. We shall overcome, right? That's a great song. So you ought to be excited. When I tell you to open the Bible, you shouldn't be hating. Well, he done told me to turn to the Bible. You ought to be excited. The word of God gives life. The word of God gives hope. The word of God gives peace. Amen? God said that whatever I give you, you need to multiply. Those of you all that God has given talents, use it for the Lord. God is more interested in you than he is your money. Give of your time. Give of your energy. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. God is saying, give everything to the Lord. God should be number one in your life. Amen? The church had allowed everything to come into the church but the things of God. I think I heard Dr. Tony Evans say this one time, say, if he had a concert and he brought BB and CC Wine, they'd pack out the church. If he brought Kurt Franklin, they'd pack out the church. If he brought any of those gospel singers. But if he said, let's have a prayer meeting, won't nobody come to church then. Let's have a Bible study. The church need to get back to the things of God. The Bible is the most important thing of the church. Not the entertainment. Now, the singing is good, but singing won't keep you. The only thing going to keep you is the word of God. Amen? We need to get back to, it's two weapons that we have, prayer and the word of God. Have you prayed lately? Are you still praying? Let me tell you, my life is so messed up, I need to pray. And you say, you're a pastor. It don't matter what I'm a pastor. It don't matter what I'm, let me tell you, I need to get in touch with the Lord. So much mess going on in my family, in my life, that I need prayer. And if you didn't know it, I pray all the time. I pray all the time because there's nothing else that can help me. There's nothing else that give me joy and peace than me having a relationship with God and me being able to say, Lord, you know, Lord, I can't, it's out of my hands. Lord, I've done everything that I've done. Lord, I did the best that I know how. Lord, you're going to have to intervene. Lord, if you don't do it, it won't get done. Lord, you're my bread. You're my light. You're my strength. Lord, you're everything that I need. Lord, I need help. I need help right now. I don't need help tomorrow. I need help right now. Lord, I need you to show up. I need you to show out. I need you to work the situation out. I need you to turn the table. I need you to do like you did to Haman. When Haman put up the gallows for Mordecai, I need you to reverse it. I need you to do like you did to Judas. When Judas sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver, Judas went and hung himself. But Christ went on to the Calvary. I need you to turn the table. I need you to be on my side. I need you to stand up and Lord and speak for me. I can't speak for myself. I'm like Solomon. I'm a child. I don't know how to come in and go out. Lord, I need your help. I need it right now. Let me give you a quick prayer. When Peter was walking on the water. Now, you know, most of the time we pray, we try to sound good, you know. Peter was walking on the water. And the Bible said when the storms began to rise up, when the billows and the wind, Peter stopped looking at Jesus and looked at the, and he began to sing. Now, let me tell you, it's not in the Bible, but let me just help you out how it worked. When you go in the water, you usually go down quickly. So what I believe when Peter was beginning to sink, when he got around his knees and he began to get up around it, he didn't have time to say, oh, Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know what he said? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. That's all he had. And the Bible said Jesus reached down and grabbed Peter by the hand. Now, I want y'all to pay attention to this. Now, he in water. Water, it ain't nothing you can do in water but go down. And he pulled him back up. Now, it's not in the scripture, but I don't see what Jesus put him on his back and say, now, you know, you can't walk on this water. I'm going to have to carry you back to the boat. I believe that when Jesus picked him back up, the water stayed up, stabilized. And I believe Peter began to walk with Jesus. And I believe Jesus was walking right alongside him and said, Peter, now, if you had been paying attention to me, Peter, if you had been looking at me, you looked at them stones, you got a little afraid. Peter, if you had kept your eyes on me. See, Peter, sometimes you like most Christians, y'all get to looking at the trial. You get to looking at the storm. You get to looking at all the stuff I'm going through. And then you get down and you get depressed and you get down. But if you keep your eyes on Jesus, let me tell you, the storm's going to come and they're going to go. But Jesus is going to still be there. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let me help you out. Don't let the storms get you down. Look to Jesus. Ask Daniel about it. Daniel went down into the lions den, and I guarantee you those lions hadn't ate for days and those lions was hungry. But Daniel looked to the Lord and Daniel told the Lord, said, Lord, I'm innocent. I hadn't done anything, Lord. They put me in the lions den. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And the Bible tell me that God sent an angel and shut the lion's mouth. That's the Bible tell me. And Daniel spent the night. Now you say, did he stay all? He stayed down all night with the lions, but the lions couldn't touch him because God, he was in God's hand. And let me tell you, if you never heard it before, let me give it to you one more time. A Christian is like he's surrounded like in an incubator, and nothing can touch you unless God allows it. So even though people around you causing you and trying to stab you in the back, people around you trying to do you wrong, God has got your back. I need the Lord. This church of Pergamos knew, and God told him, say, you need to get those two things right. If we got that going on in our church, we need to get it right. We don't need the doctrine of Balaam. People yoking up with the world, compromising with the world because it don't work. You've heard it before. Oil and water don't mix. You can't mix it. And we don't need the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We don't need to try to tell God how to run the church. We need to let God run the church. And we need to line up. He's the head and we divide it. And as long as I listen to the, matter of fact, you know, there'll be something in my hand trying to tell my head what to do. Look, my head tell my hand what to do. Now, what would it be like the hand say, head, I ain't doing that no more. No, the hand can't tell the head what to do. My head tell my hand, say, hand, touch the pulpit. Head tell the hand, grab the Bible. We need to be just like that. When Jesus tell us something to do, you know what we need to do? Do it. Like Michael Jordan said, just do it. Do it. We need to be sold out for the Lord. And when you get to heaven, don't be shocked. When you get to heaven, your name going to line up with the type of life that you live. I don't know why Christians think they're going to get to heaven and going to get all these crowns and ain't did nothing for the Lord. Let me just tell you, if you ain't live for the Lord down here, don't expect that he's going to give you a crown when you get to heaven. If you ain't live for the Lord down here, don't think he's going to give you one of them names that say, saints to God, been sold out for years, golden crown. No, you're not going to get that. You're going to be just like that one that went up to heaven and he said, hey, I saw that guy over there. He had a big mansion. Mansion. I can't wait to get mine. And he went over there and he saw a little shack. And the man said, why is that? He said, that's all you sent up. Whatever you sent up now is what God going to put in heaven. Amen? Let's be sold out for the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day, a day that you have made. Thank you for the saints of God coming out to the house of God. Thank you for our third church, the church of Pergamos, Lord. Even though the church was set up in the had the world in the church, there were some saints in there, Lord, that were living a godly life. But yet, Lord, the devil has set up seed in the church. Lord, help us to kick the devil out. Lord, we know we can't do it, but Jesus, you can kick him out. Help us not to have the doctrine of Balaam to commit fornication and adultery. And help us not to have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, Lord, where we want to run everything in the church and not run it through the pastor, run it through the under-shepherd. Lord, help us to do everything to do honor, to bring honor and glory to you. Now, Lord, as we give the invitation, Lord, we bless that you guide us, lead us as we give the invitation. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.